Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Gear Your Audio Marketing Secrets Audios to the iPad Market and Charge as Much as $30,000 per Information Package. 4 years ago, Scott Moldenhauer was working an average job as a sales trainer for a pharmaceutical company, but he also held on to a dream of starting his own business someday. That day happened when he stumbled onto my site, HardToFindSeminars.com, and made the decision to invest in my Audio Marketing Secrets program. And since then, he's never looked back. 30 interviews later, he sells his audio information packages for as much as $30,000 each, and he does it by marketing them as mobile training packages for the iPad. You see, many companies provide iPads for their employees, and your Audio Marketing Secrets product could give them an efficient way to train those employees while they're on the road, using the same experts they'd normally have to pay big bucks that they'd have to hear at conferences, saving them a ton of money and a ton of time. And in this audio interview, you'll hear me grill Scott on every detail of exactly how he does it. You'll also learn a simple trick Scott uses to make sure the experts he's interviewing are the exact ones his audience will pay to hear. You'll learn everything you need to know about how to get started, what audio editing software works best, where to go to find the cheapest and best sounding phone connection, how to back up your calls for free, all about the licensing out your package, how to price your package and when to display those prices, and much more. You'll learn the word-for-word message Scott left on Jeffrey Fox's voicemail that got the sales training giant to agree to an interview, and how he used that interview to leverage himself for landing more of the big names he needed. You'll learn how to chop up your interviews for maximum use, and all about what Scott does with his audio snippets in newsletters, blogs, products, and more. You'll learn how to prepare for a big interview and the one area of post-production Scott says he no longer bothers with. You'll learn all about Scott's iPad catalog and audio information packages, what it looks like, and how he gets decision makers to click through to see them. You'll learn the very simple system Scott uses to know when, or even if, his prospect is serious about buying, and the exact way he follows up to keep the conversation and the interest going. And you'll hear the cheap, do-it-yourself alternative to building an app that does the exact same thing but doesn't require an expensive programmer to make. With so many people owning iPads nowadays, if you tailor your Audio Marketing Secrets interviews and products to that market, you'll be raising the value of your products, bringing up your credibility, and getting prospects to seek you out. And in this audio interview, you'll hear the business plan that makes it all happen. Now let's get going. I'll start from the beginning. I had sent out an email and I had one of my subscribers say, hey, I don't know if you know this guy, but he's using the same kind of music that you use and he's probably one of your students. And he goes, here's the link, check it out. So I went and checked it out and I heard your intro and I heard the music and I go, oh man, I bet that's one of my students. I didn't recognize the name, but until I filled out the name and email and subscribed and got your message, I saw that your name came up, so I knew I had you in my phone and we had talked before. So it was confirmed that you were one of my students, and I'd love to hear what you've been doing with audio. I mean, I'm flattered that you're actually modeling what I'm doing, and man, I'm happy for you. I love it. That's a compliment to me. So tell me, what inspired you to get going with this? What are you doing? How is it going? I did listen to part of one of the interviews with the doctor, and it sounded really good. Very strong, nice, clean interview, good content, too.
You know, I can't tell you how much your audio program has done for me, because I'm one of those guys that I never buy anything off the net. I'm one of those guys that subscribes, I get the free content, and I'm not the ideal customer for a guy like you. So I consumed your free stuff off your website. I mean, I was eating it up to the point where I went, this guy's got something. So I bought the audio program. And I think I talked to you when I did it. But anyway, somehow I bought it. This is like 3 years ago at least now. And so I started doing everything that you told me to do, listening to your audio.
3 years ago, what were you doing? Were you working? Did you have a job? What were you up to?
About 4 years ago, I had a job. I was doing sales training in the pharmaceutical industry. I always wanted to start my own business and take it to the next level. So in preparation for that, I was thinking, you know, I've got to start a website, but how do I draw people to the website? And your audio interviews were a turn on to me because I'm an information junkie. I'm always listening to audio, and I love iTunes. I love downloading podcasts, so I thought I should give this a try. So I did it, and I started calling up people who had written major business books. And to my amazement, some of these people said, yeah, I'll talk to you. You've got a podcast on iTunes. You have customers in the pharmaceutical industry. I'll talk to you. And they did. So I started recording and I started to make audio interviews.
What was the whole strategy? So for the listeners who say, okay, I've got this job, I'm in this industry, Scott liked what Senoff was doing and he wanted to do audios, but what was the big picture? Why would you want to do audios? What was the whole game plan?
You know, I needed to make a name for myself, and I wanted to start associating myself, a guy who really had no credibility with anybody, I wanted to start associating myself with the experts. So I did what you said, and I called up a guy named Jeffrey Fox. This is a great story. Jeffrey Fox wrote a book called How to Become a Rainmaker. And I had some friends in medical device companies, companies that, you know, half of our parents have pacemakers and stuff installed by these people. So anyway, I called these people and I said, who do you guys like? And they said, we like this guy named Jeffrey Fox. He just really gets selling in this industry. So I called. I got a voicemail. Press 5 if you want Jeffrey. I left him a voicemail and I thought, there's not a chance in hell this guy's going to call me back.
Tell me what you said when you left that voice message. But before you do, I want you to expand on that mental thinking that there's not a chance in hell that this guy will call me back. So take me to your mental nine and tell me what you said when you left that message.
Sure. So I was shooting in the dark. I was just kind of following your program about calling these people because these people need advertising. And so I was scared about doing it. I trusted what you said. I called up.
I don't mean to interrupt. When we say these people need advertising, who are you referring to?
I'm referring to people who write books, people who are already popular, people who have a name for themselves.
They need advertising, don't they?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you knew that big fancy publishers and authors, they got to hustle just like we do, right?
They got to hustle. That's right. I didn't really know it at a gut level. I trusted what you said. I didn't know it at a gut level, but I thought, well, let's give it a try and see what happens.
Okay, just because they published a book, does that mean they're selling millions of books?
No.
Not at all. Okay, continue.
So anyway, so I call up and I say, hi, Jeffrey, my name is Scott Moldenhauer, and I have a podcast on iTunes. It goes out to some decision makers in the pharmaceutical industry. Just wondering if you might be interested in an interview.
That was a great message. So why don't you tell the listeners why you said it that way and what this gentleman may be thinking when he hears your message and why he may even want to consider contacting you back.
I want him to know that there's something in it for him, namely that his voice, the interview, could potentially be heard by people who would be able to not only buy his books, but people who are in position to hire him to come in and give a speech, which is a more high-dollar product.
If he's a keynote speaker, like you maybe are insinuating, a good keynote speaker could make 10 grand a speech, right?
Oh, easily.
And he could get the company that he's speaking for to hire him on a consultative basis. So one good lead from an interview could position him to make anywhere between 10 and maybe 100 grand, especially with a pharmaceutical company.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it looked like a pretty good deal for him, right?
Sure, yeah. So he was one of many people that I called, but I'm just using him as an example.
All right, so how long did it take for him to call you back?
2 weeks later, I get a phone call. I answer the phone. Hello, Scott, Jeffrey Fox. I said, hey, Jeffrey, how are you doing? He goes, I'm in. When do you want to do it?
Oh, that's beautiful.
So right there, we had it. So then I knew that was kind of a winning formula. And once you have one of these things under your belt, then you can start approaching other people. And if other people hear, oh, wow, this guy has talked to whoever it might be who's written a book, and now I've written a book, and these guys are talking to him, so now that opens the gates. Other people are going to be much more accepting once they hear that you've done good work with one other person.
So once you got that interview with Jeffrey Fox, when you approached another big-name publisher or player within your industry for an interview, you're going to use that name as leverage, right?
Exactly. So then I'll call him up on the phone, and I'll say, how you doing? My name's Scott. You know, the same pitch. I have a podcast on iTunes. By the way, don't say yes or no yet. Let me send you a sample interview. So then I get the email, I send the sample interview, and maybe it's just a 2 or 3 minute clip, because all I want them to do is to hear it, and then I call them back, or I email them back. And at that point, you'll usually get a positive response. Not each and every time, but here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing in my experience is the bigger the name, it seems like they're more willing to go forward. I'll call other people that don't have really big names, but they have a good niche in my industry, and I don't get as much reception. It seems like the guys with the big names are the ones who are more likely, at least in my circumstance, to say yes.
I think because these big names understand that any publicity is good publicity.
They do, and they also know that they have something to say. They know they have a message that resonates with people, whereas the smaller guys are kind of like, I don't have as much to say that will be as popular. At least that's my theory.
So what was your market? You wanted to create a body of content, mainly in the form of audio interviews on the subject of what?
Primarily selling in the healthcare market space. So maybe it's selling directly to physicians. Maybe it's selling to healthcare administrators, nurse practitioners. But I wanted to create something that feels like, okay, this is designed for a guy like me, meaning a guy like me that goes in and sells to doctors every day. So essentially what I did is it's not a whole lot different. So, for example, when I'm getting these book publishers on the line, I'm just using the word doctor instead of customer. But because I'm using the word doctor, the listener feels like, okay, I've got something here that's customized for me, and then I can attract that niche.
I see. And how were you going to monetize these recordings and these interviews? What was your mental thinking at the beginning?
In the beginning, I wasn't really thinking a whole lot about monetization. And I know that in your program, that's one of the things that it's taught to do. But my goal was to do more training events, because training events for me are a high-ticket item. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to use these audio interviews at first to create credibility and attract an audience. But almost along the way, you know, we're talking 2-3 years later, I start selling these things. So now I have a package of 10 or 15 interviews that I can begin selling on an individual basis, and I can begin selling to companies. And here's why I think that your information is even more valuable now than it was when I originally listened to it. A lot of it now is the iPad is coming around, tablet technology is coming around. Now a lot of these companies are going, okay, we have all these salespeople on the road in their cars with nothing to do. We have a captive audience. Why can't we be teaching them while they're driving? And with the iPad, all of that becomes a possibility. So now you have a package of audio programs that you can sell to companies, business to business, or individuals, that now is going to be a higher ticket item because the iPad and other tablets make things much more possible.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Is this how you're positioning it when you want to package and sell your package of audio recordings to the industry?
Yeah, so what I'm doing now is on a blog or a website, I have a newsletter, I'll put out a little audio snip. So let's say that I do a half-hour interview with somebody. Maybe I'll find 5 minutes that is just like really killer, and I'll put it out there. And then at the end of the webpage, it'll say something like, if you want our entire iPad catalog on how to motivate your reps while they're driving, click here and we'll send you the catalog. Now, of course, when they click there, we get their name and email address. We send them the catalog, and that gives us a reason to follow up.
What's the catalog? Are they sent to a web page that lists the title and the category and the description and the expert?
Yeah, so essentially what I do is I send them a catalog that has a list of all the different audio, and we have video programs too. And then it's a PDF file. So I'll just send it off a couple days later, place a phone call, and follow up.
Do you have multiple offers going, or how did it start, and what are you currently selling the access, and how do you package that, what do you sell it for, and how's it going?
It's going well. I've sold a couple of different packages now, and the nice thing is you can sell them not only in the United States, but because they're digital, you can go essentially wherever you want. And so people will buy a package, and they might say, hey, Scott, how much is it for everything? And I'll give them a price. How much is it for this? I'll give them a price. And then we'll decide what they want, and then the company will put it on their learning management system, which is the corporate way of saying this is how we deliver audio content or video content. Or they just take it, and they start sending emails to their sales representatives, hey, we're focusing on closing this month, and here's is a great interview on closing sales.
That's great. Do you have pricing published in your catalog, or do you just take it individually just depending on the company and what they're interested in? Do you put pricing and lock yourself down to certain pricing?
I do not put pricing in there. I have a general price frame in mind when I'm talking to companies, but it'll depend on how many people are going to be listening, how much of the content they want, and things like that. But the nice thing is when you're doing business to business, each of these packages can go for several thousand dollars.
Okay, so give me an example. Let's say if I have a pharmaceutical company, I've got 100 reps out in the field nationally, I listen to your clip, I inquire and sign up online with my name and email address, and do you ask for a phone number or address, or what are you asking online before I get my catalog?
Usually what people will do is when they send you an email, a lot of times, at least in the corporate world, most people have their email address and their phone number there.
Okay, so when they ask for a catalog, it's an email direct to you. It's not a form.
Exactly. It's an email to me that says, Scott, send me your catalog on this.
Okay, I like that. That's personable, and so it's a direct communication, and then you have all their information right there. And then so you email back that PDF, and you follow up and get on the phone with them, and what questions are you asking them to suss up an idea of what you're going to charge them, depending on what they're interested in?
Basically, I want to know a couple of things. Some people are just going to email you and say, send me the catalog, and you know, they're kind of curious. Maybe they're developing their own things from a corporate level, and they want to see what you have and get ideas. So the first thing I want to do is I want to filter out who's serious versus who's not serious. And then if I find somebody who seems like they're serious but they're not ready to buy yet, then I'll put them into my calendar and I might follow up with them once a month or once every 2 weeks. And a lot of times I'll say to them, hey, if you're not ready to do this now, do you mind if I call you in a couple of months?
Well, what do you say when you first call them? How do you know if they're serious or not?
I'll say something like, how are you doing it, Scott? You requested our email catalog. Did you get it? Oh, yeah, we got it. You had a chance to look at it? No, I haven't opened up yet. Is this something you guys are doing? Do you have iPads yet? If they say, yeah, we have iPads. Then sometimes I'll say, when did you get them? And I'll say, well, you know, we just got them a couple months ago. So then I know they're probably not ready because they're just doing the basics. They're getting their people up and running. But if they say, we've had them for a year, then I will say something like, have you thought about using them as a training tool? Yeah, that's why we are looking at your catalog. Then I know at least I have some interest. And then I have to find out if it sounds like an initiative within the company, can these people make a decision? Sometimes they can. Usually they cannot. So then I have to say, well, whose effort is this? Oh, it's mine. In so many words, I'll say, is there somebody that you report to that, you know, I'm trying to find somebody who can make a decision, essentially. So I'm trying to kind of work my way up the ladder once I qualify that they're actually looking for something and they're serious.
So how long have you now gotten into the groove where you're selling this package and training? I mean, have you sold 10 packages since you've been doing it?
Yeah, I've sold a little over 10. Now, what I primarily do is I sell the training. So I'll actually go into the company. I'll do the training.
So you are a sales trainer?
Yes, I'm a trainer slash consultant.
All right, do these recordings get you training gigs?
They do give me training gigs, which is a whole different interesting avenue. And some of these people will listen to these recordings, people that can make decisions, and they feel more comfortable reaching out to you because they almost feel like they know you. You know, I watch the news in the morning, and I don't know Matt Lauer, but I almost feel like I know him. He wouldn't recognize me from Adam, but you know, I just know him because I watch him all the time. And I think it's the same effect. Like, I felt like I knew you when I bought your program because I have a feel for your personality. I listen to you interact with people.
Yes. And they've listened to you interview some players, so you already have some of that established credibility with players in the industry. So you've got that credibility. So just by having these interviews or getting you training gigs, what are you pushing first, your training gigs or your package of interviews?
Well, I'll tell you what I'd rather have in the future. I'd rather have the interviews and ongoing audio and video because all I have to do once it's sold is push a button. Okay. I don't have to get into an airplane. I don't have to customize everything for that particular company. So that's the goal. That's the direction that I want to go in the future. I continue to do training. That's most of my income now. And I'm hoping that the plan is that that will be replaced by audio and video materials in the future.
How many audio interviews have you done since you got started?
I probably have about 30 audio interviews. And a lot of what I do is I'll chop them up. So if I have a 30-minute interview, you know, a lot of these guys, I might be able to take a 3-minute segment on how to ask a physician a better question. And that's a piece in my newsletter. Now, a lot of times, these people don't want to listen for very long. So that could be a piece of a catalog right there, 3 or 4 minutes. And I'll tell people, you know, some of these things are 10 minutes long, some of them are 40 minutes long, so we have a variety in there. And a lot of people, to my surprise, go, oh, Scott, we're so glad that they're not all 30 minutes, because a lot of our people, they want 2 or 3 minute clips. Like before they go in to see a doctor, they'll say, how do I get through the gatekeeper on this one? So I might have a little clip on how to get through the gatekeeper that's 2 minutes. They listen on their iPhone, they listen on their iPad, and boom, they're off into the office.
I see. So if you do a 30-minute interview, you'll break that down and package it into subject and categories. And so your catalog, even though you may have 30 interviews, you could have hundreds of different topics, and you've just broken them all down?
Exactly. So if I break it down into teasers, so I want teasers for my blog, teasers for my newsletter, and that might be a 3-minute clip, but I might be able to take one interview and break it down into like 4 or 5 different clips that I can use as teasers in my blog. I always give them something of value, the listener. I want them to be able to take it and use it. But then, at the end, it will say something like, for more information or to get our iPad catalog, click here. Very similar to what you do.
So, once you get an agreement to do an interview, tell me your process. Once you've set the date, how you prepare for that interview, do you have your questions all ready to go? Do you wing it? Do you research your expert? Tell me how that happens, the pre-interview stage.
I've done a little bit of all of the above. If they have a book, I want to make sure that I've went through the book, I've really looked at it thoroughly and devised the questions in advance. Sometimes people don't have a book. Maybe they're speakers and they speak within a certain niche, so I'll wing it. But if you know your industry well enough and the person on the other line has done this enough, which they usually have, you can usually come up with something pretty good. You know, you have to learn how to edit it and get rid of all of the dead space and things like that, but that's easy once you learn how to do it.
Are you doing all of the editing yourself?
Yes.
Are you typing word-for-word transcripts to these as well?
You know, I started in the beginning, and I would hire somebody to do it online. And maybe I just wasn't hiring the right people, but it got to be time-consuming for me. So I haven't really followed through on the transcripts.
Are you offering just a play-only option in your packages, or do you let them download an MP3?
I do both. So they have the ability to stream or download.
Do you get requests for PDF or transcript or not really?
You know, I've had a couple of requests recently, and I thought it was interesting that they've just come recently, but overall, I do not get requests for transcripts.
Okay. All right. Well, this is excellent. So 3 years ago, you started on this. So why don't you give me a before picture and an after picture? Before audio interviews, what was going on with Scott, and then give me a now picture after doing audio interviews. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
You know, I think the big benefit was if you're starting a business or if you're trying to make it on your own, the hardest part is calling people that you don't know very well and asking them for business. That's tough. And they don't want to hear from you most of the time. Let's face it. The difference is, if you start doing audio interviews and things like that, you have people come to you. Now all of a sudden, instead of you going, hey, notice me, people are coming to you and saying, hey, I heard some of the stuff that you're doing, and can you tell me more? And that's a huge difference. It's a huge difference in the response you get when you're ready to sell something.
With my audio marketing secrets, did you go through all of that material, all the consultations I did with people? Do you remember that?
I do remember it. I can't tell you every detail, but I can tell you that I learned how to edit audio. I learned how to set the, I can't even tell if it's called megahertz, but I just followed what you said. I set it at 24 kbps. I mean, it was sort of plug and play because there's a little bit of a learning curve there in terms of the technical aspect.
Are you using the Goldwave? What are you using for the editing?
No, I ended up using something called Sony SoundForge. But a lot of the things that you taught, I could figure it out from your audio, how to use the Sony SoundForge as well. So all of those things came together. And then some of the technical aspects, like ask a question, Scott, and then shut up. Just shut up and listen.
It works.
That's unbelievable. Everything that you said was really right on target. You said people like the conversational aspect, and they do. I would rather listen to the interview, the question back and forth and the answer, than just hearing an author read out of a book. There's just something about that interview format. Other little things that you said. just all of them kind of came true. And I think something that you're going to see more and more that you said is people are busy. You know, everybody loves video, yes, but nobody has time to sit in front of a computer for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour watching a video. And audio is really where it's at. With podcasts, with iPhones, all the technology, I just see audio as having so much potential.
It's amazing. I mean, I have an iPhone, and I just recently realized that I use these audio play buttons from Instant Audio when I convert my audio, and they play on the iPhone, and they used to not play. I had some guy complaining that I had offered a play-only product, no downloads. I go, well, do you have an iPhone? He goes, yeah. Well, I go, you can just go to the website and play the button, and it plays. It's beautiful. And you're right. You really make me think about as these iPads are being purchased for employees. I mean, they have literally a university right there on those iPads and on their iPhones, and it's so easy to access. And that makes me even more excited. You've got me thinking about packaging all my stuff and just selling it all to corporations. That'd be a great idea.
Oh, and you have so much stuff. How you did that much work? Hats off to you.
You realize it is a lot of work when you're doing everything yourself. But if you turn it into a business, I have an editor who's almost like a full-time editor, so I'll do this interview. So we're recording now, and it's a pretty clean interview. It's not going to be a big edit. And once I'm finished, I'll upload it, and she'll do the editing. And then I have a writer who will listen to it, and she'll write the description. And then I have a transcriber who will take it and write the transcripts. And I just manage it all. I now have people do all that for me, but I'll make sure that it's my voice on the interview and I'm doing the interview and asking the questions. So each little interview is an asset. I mean, it's a little piece of real estate. People will go spend $500,000 on a home to rent it out to make themselves $150 to $200 or maybe $300 positive cash flow with a renter, and they think they're going to get rich. And then the house is empty for a couple months and they're upside down. They're losing money. And a little audio interview that we're spending 30 minutes on the phone, and once it's done and once it's online, I can deliver it anywhere in the world. This interview that we're doing right now will become a sales tool for me. And I'm going to share it with my listeners who were maybe in your situation when you were 3 years ago, and it'll give them confidence, and it's almost like a testimonial for me. It's just a powerful tool, delivering audio through the internet anywhere in the world. It's unbelievable. It's a great little business I fell into.
You know, I've told so many people about your site, and people just love it. There are so many ideas on your site. I mean, things that you don't even think of. And it's amazing. The format, the idea itself is just genius. It's so clean. It's so easy. It's so accessible. And I just don't see how you cannot continue getting bigger with all of the mobile technology. Are you doing apps or anything like that yet?
Yeah, I just had a guy contact me. I sent out an email to my list, and I said, how's your summer going? What are you working on that's exciting? And I had so many people contact me. I had this one guy, and he was talking about, we need to get all your audios on an app and get this stuff out to the world. He's been a fan of mine for, he said, several years. I didn't really know who he was. Yeah, I thought maybe he was one of these guys. You know how there's a big product launch, learn how to build apps. And I go, do you have experience? You know, who are you? What's the deal with you, basically? Or are you just one of these entrepreneurs who just bought into how to make money selling apps? So he emailed me back. And he goes, I've directed multi-million-dollar software development projects on a national scale for various applications from simulation to gaming engines in virtual reality, motion capture technology. I'm customer-focused as well as budget and milestone-oriented. The native mobile app done in C programming are no different than a large project but on a tiny piece of screen real estate. I did earlier programming and have applications for the complexity. With your 117 hours of audio, I have several ideas. I think each should be broken out as standalone categories, native apps, but tied into each other in the HTFS app network. So every finger swipe leads to monetize opportunity. I mean, this guy, he sounds great. I go, well, I'm excited. I said, I've had people contact me before who were going to do apps, and they start off strong, but you never hear from them after a while because it's a lot of work. So maybe this is the guy who will do it for me.
I don't know if you've seen this, but I've been kind of toying around with the different apps, and I've made a couple of apps off of Android and blah, blah, blah. But a blog, like a WordPress blog, does essentially the same thing. I was toying around, and you can take your iPad, and if you have a blog, and a lot of times you can just use, I don't know if it's called the bookmark feature on your iPad, but it'll shoot an icon right onto your iPad desktop. In other words, you won't know the difference between it being...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, right.
And I love that because now you can access it from an iPhone, the same website, the same blog. You can access it from an Android phone. You can access it from your iPad. You can access it from your PC. It's all just one website, but people are really in tune with the whole idea of iPad apps. It does the exact same thing. You can deliver the audio that way. The whole works, and you don't need a programmer.
Yeah, that's true. With the phones and the iPads and the iPhones, I mean, if someone knows about it, all they got to do is go to the website on their phone or iPad. I mean, especially my stuff, it's all right there, just as if you were on your computer screen.
Yeah, you should try that sometime.
I do have a blog. I know what you're talking about, the icon. I'll have to check with my web guy and see if we can do that. Do you have an iPad yourself?
Interesting story. I had an iPad as of 2 weeks ago. I was at a conference and it seriously disappeared. But I was going to say I could look at it right now and just push the button and see what it looked like. I mean, it'll take you 2 seconds.
My blog is hardtofindseminars.com/blog, lowercase.
There should be on your iPad a little...
Well, I don't have an iPad. I got my iPhone.
I've never done it on an iPhone, but it works on an iPad. So in other words, people could just have Michael Senoff on the desktop on their iPad, push the button, and bam, you're right there at your blog. Now they start pushing the audio and they can listen to it.
Well, I see.
Yeah, or you make a new blog. Let's say you want to charge for it. You can take some of your blog content and make it a membership site. They can go into the membership area and pretty much have an app that's all your paid stuff.
That's right. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff I could do. Absolutely. I want to get back to you described your pre-preparation for the interview. What about the interview? Are you doing any kind of agreements? I mean, I know in my audio marketing secret stuff, I don't really stress doing contracts or agreements. Did you follow my advice on that, or how did you handle that? Did you worry about that? Licensing agreements or what you can do with the interview? Do you take care of housekeeping? What do you say before you start the interview? Do you make it clear that you may be using the content and selling it or packaging it to your interview guests? What do you say about that or nothing?
Yes, I do. I actually followed the advice that you had. And so while I was recording right at the beginning of the interview, I would say, you know, a lot of this stuff is going to go out for free. I'm going to put it on iTunes. It's going to have your name, any contact information you want to give at the end of the interview. But in some cases, if there's interest, I may sell it. Now, if I sell it, I want you to know that your name, your email, all that stuff is going to remain in there. And I have never, ever, ever had anybody say, oh, no, I can't do that. As a matter of fact, if anything, it's led to more things for me. It's been really nice. I mean, again, it goes back to the whole idea that people want their name out there. They don't care if you're selling their stuff, especially if it's just like whetting the taste buds of somebody who might buy the big package.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Correct. So how are you actually doing the recordings of the interviews? You mentioned you only have a cell phone now. Are you using free conference call? Tell me how you're handling the actual interview process.
Usually I'll do two things. I'll get on free conference call, have them call that number. That's my backup recording. And then I use a digital voice recorder. I think I got it at Radio Shack for $60. And right now I use a little Olympus earbud. I think it was $10. It goes from my ear into the digital voice recorder and it picks up the conversation.
Are you using your cell phone to do the recordings?
I'm usually not using my cell phone. I try to use a landline, but sometimes if I'm on the road, I've done interviews from airport parking lots, hotel parking lots, and I'll just do it right from my car on my cell phone, and 9 times out of 10, it sounds great.
That's excellent. So after the interview, you've got a backup recording through freeconferencecall.com. That's a free service, correct?
Yep.
And then you have your initial recording from the Olympus recorder, and you'll download it off the recorder onto your computer or your laptop. You'll do your editing, and you're good to go.
Exactly. It's pretty simple. And talk about a way to get started without a big investment. You go to iTunes. iTunes is free to upload your materials, and boom, right there.
Are you putting your stuff on iTunes?
Yeah, I do, and I'm just amazed at how many people go to iTunes and download.
Wow. You're getting a lot of action on iTunes.
Yeah, now I'm not getting the big corporate decision makers that'll go to iTunes, but I get a lot of salespeople. They're listening to iTunes while they're driving in their car, and a lot of times that's where they find my stuff.
That's excellent. Scott, I'm proud of you. You're doing it, and I think you're just starting to see the beginning potential of this. Just going to get bigger and better and easier to access audio, and most people won't take the time to do the work. It does take work, especially if you're doing it all yourself, but it's either time or money. You know, if you got the money, you can hire it out and really create a business and crank out a lot of content. I have to ask you this. Are you building an email list, a subscriber list?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So just like with your stuff, and this is where I learned it, midway through the recording, at the end of the recording, it'll say, if you want more information on this, go to www.greatmedicalrefs.com. They go there, they have the ability to sign in, and then I've captured them, and I can continue to market them once every few weeks.
Yeah, what kind of list have you built up? You got a couple hundred names on there now?
Yeah, I've got at least a couple thousand.
That's wonderful. Now, how often are you emailing them?
I'm trying to email at least once every 10 to 14 days, and I can measure how many people actually look at it. I've got about 30% of people open it up and take a peek. Mm-hmm. Of those 30%, about 10% will actually click on the links. And the interesting thing is, even of the 70% of people who don't click, I'll still get a call from them occasionally because a need has come up and they'll say, hey, you know, I was just sending out this newsletter and I was thinking, do you have anything on this?
So when you email, what are you sending out every 10 days?
I'll usually take a tiny piece of an audio clip, and the subject line will be something like, how to engage physicians, how to close physicians, advanced questioning skills for pharmaceutical reps or something like that. So they open it up, and maybe the interview, the original interview, the interview I'm going to sell lasts 30 minutes. The clip is 3 minutes, and at the end of the clip it says, for more information, go here and log in, or if you want to learn more about our iPad materials, give us a call here. So I have a variety of different commercials, just like you do, where I just pretty much copy them from one audio document and paste them into the one I'm working on, and at the end there's always a call to action.
And every time you send an email, do you get some action, whether it's a couple emails or a couple phone calls?
Yeah, I sent one out just a few days ago. I got probably about 10 people that requested the iPad materials. I had a couple of people that requested information on training. I can also see, you know, some of these people, they might click on the same email, the same link 10, 12 times. And then I know, okay, this person right now is really interested in this particular topic. And if I have an appropriate way to follow up with them, I'll send them an email or I'll give them a phone call.
I like how you say iPad material, because that's a unique way of saying it. I mean, it's material, but when you say iPad material, and if they have an iPad, that means it's specifically for them and their iPad. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, and it's all the rage right now.
That is true. So when you're giving out an interview through your email, you're giving a clip and you say, for more information, contact me, and you generate a conversation, and depending on what they want, you'll send them the catalog, and then you'll do the selling on an individual basis from that.
Exactly, because at least in my business, it's going to vary for everybody, but in consulting and training, everything needs to lead to some sort of a conversation. My materials are designed to get people involved in some sort of a telephone conversation and ultimately a business face-to-face discussion.
Yeah, you now, want to get them on the phone. That is the most effective way.
Yeah, it really is.
You've sold a little over 10 packages. What's the low range and what's the highest range you've done? And do you do it all one payment? Do you make payments? How does it work in the corporate world? Do they put you on net 30, a PO, or what?
Yeah, usually you have to submit something called a statement of work, which is basically a proposal outlining saying, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now, I'm starting to build little blog sites and things for the smaller companies, too, where they have sort of a way to deliver the information. The less expensive packages will start around $5,000, and then it goes up from there.
What's the most you've sold one for? Just so our listeners can get an idea of the potential payback.
Well, it can go upwards from $30,000 if they've got enough people.
You got to tell me. Have you done a $30,000 deal?
I've done one that's been well over 30, but it's involved also some face-to-face training. And then the nice thing is, too, if you get a corporate package, the nice thing there is you can license it. So you can say to people, listen, I have all these iPad materials, and if you're interested and you want to give it a try, we can license it for 1 year. At the end of that year, you'll have the option of relicensing. And so at the end of the year, assuming you've been productive that year, you can go back. Now, I'm about to go back to a couple of companies and say, hey, I know that you guys like this, and I've got some more materials. You're going to be excited about this, this, and this. Would you like to relicense it?
You got to tell the listeners about some of your deals. You don't have to mention any companies. So tell me, how many license deals have you done? You've done at least 3 1-year license deals?
Yeah, about 4 of the 1-year license.
How do you structure that license? Do you put a limit on how many? Is it per listener, or how do you set that up?
Yeah, so usually what you'll say is you'll say something like, okay, how many people do you have? And they'll tell you how many people they have.
And these are basically sales reps.
Yeah, sales reps, sales managers, sales trainers.
So give me an example of a company. You don't have to say the name, but so company A has how many listeners?
So let's say we have company A, and it's a small sales force, and they say, okay, we've got 100 reps, we've got 10 district managers, we've got 4 trainers.
Do all of them have iPads? I'm just curious.
Yeah, a lot of them do now. A lot of them do. And if they don't have iPads, they'll have an LMS, which isn't as desirable.
What's an LMS?
It's short for Learning Management System, which just basically means that most companies now will have some sort of an internal infrastructure for delivering training materials. That's not quite as nice because it's not portable. You don't get as many people using it. So then what I try and do is, you know, you want people to understand the value of this too, because, I mean, if I have 100 sales representatives and I can get them listening to some of this stuff while they're driving to their next doctor's office and giving them ideas, and they go in and they have a killer presentation, you get a couple of patients on a certain medication that can be pretty lucrative for a company. So you always want to stress the value. This may sound expensive now, but think about the potential if it's used properly. And if you can get to the right person, the person who can make decisions, that can be a pretty successful strategy.
So who are the decision makers for a product like this, a licensing of audio content?
Well, it's usually going to be training directors or sometimes sales VPs, people who have a vested interest in making their salespeople better salespeople.
Because the better they are, the more they make.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of salespeople, at least in these industries, it's a lot about a relationship. So sometimes they drop the ball. They'll go in and the customer is their friend, but they're not real good at executing the sales part of the discussion. So we're teaching them how to become better at executing, but at the same time, in a weird sort of way, you're almost reminding them, hey, you're here for a reason, and the reason is to stress the benefits of your product. So if you can continue to get people listening to the interviews, that's a way of doing that. Otherwise, the alternative is if you put yourself into the shoes of a training director, it's really expensive to fly 100 salespeople to a hotel in Las Vegas and have a training person come in for an hour or 2 hours or a day or whatever, and then the salespeople go back into the field, and 3 days later they forget what they learned.
Yeah, what a waste. So
it is a waste. It's a huge waste. And the audio is a nice way to keep it going throughout the year. It's right there. It's accessible, and it's inexpensive.
All right, so you've given me an example, 100 salespeople in management. So what are you going to license your 30 interviews to them for? How much for the year?
Well, for more than 30 interviews, I would try and do the videos and that type of thing, too. So that, to me, would be around a $10,000 package, which when you think about how much money they're saving in terms of putting somebody up in a hotel, in terms of flying them out to a hotel, in terms of hiring a speaker, you know, some of these people you can get on the phone that have written a book, these people might get, you know, some of the better ones, at least $10,000 for
just for the speaker, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a huge waste, these sales meetings, the hotels and the air flights and people's time. It's old school.
It is, and I think that's a great way to position the audio if you're trying to sell it in a business-to-business situation.
So $10,000, and how do you handle the money?
So usually what happens is if you get to the point where you sign a contract, and then a lot of times they'll pay you up front.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. They'll cut you a check for $10,000 and you give them access. How do you give them access? How do you control that?
Usually what I do is I just send them the digital files. And these companies, they're pretty diligent about licensing and things. So at the end of the year, you know, or before the end of the year, you're going to want to call them up and just remind them, hey, the licensing agreement is about to come to an end. Do you want to relicense? And so that's where I'm kind of getting with some of these companies now, is I'm getting to the point now where we have to think about relicensing.
Do you have more content to offer them on a relicense?
I do. Yeah, so I'm coming in with more content.
And that's going to be a bonus, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a bonus. So they get everything they had before, and they get more content. And then the other nice thing, at least from my perspective, is Now I have my own training package to sell them. So I can come in and they can hire me. And then I turn around and now I have all of my trainings are on audio. So I can say, if you would like to buy the follow-up package, why do you want me to just come in here for a few hours and then everybody forgets? Why don't we have a scheduled email delivery system? So once every week, they're getting refreshed on these materials.
That's excellent.
Yeah, so all of these things can kind of interplay.
So that's your licensing deal. What other kind of deal is there that you can offer your potential clients?
Well, I mean, I can do individual things. Like if somebody goes to the website and they want to buy some interviews, I mean, I'll sell them the interviews for, you know, $15 an interview or something.
Where's the real money in this, do you think? The licensing?
I think so, yeah, because then you have recurring income.
And what kind of feedback are you getting from the company, your clients?
So far, people like it. But a lot of the guys that are making the decisions, they can't monitor how much it's being used. A lot of times there's a disconnect between the salespeople in the field that are doing the work and the people who are in the home office. So one of the things I can do is if it stays on my server, meaning that they're downloading my MP3s from my site, the service that I use, I can tell them, okay, you had 600 downloads of this particular interview over the last 3 months. And so your people are really attracted to this topic, which is sort of value add because they don't know otherwise.
Yeah, you need a good stats program. That would be very beneficial for the decision maker. You can maybe have each person have an individual username. I'll tell you what you should check out. I've been using this thing. It used to be called Goodberry.com, and this is how I manage all my subscribers for my HMA marketing consultants. And it's now called Business Catalyst. Business Catalyst. Adobe bought it out. And so it's like a blog, but it's all protected, kind of like a membership site. And the stats are just incredible. So you can upload, like, let's say you had 100 different users, and you can have 100 usernames, which could be all the same, and then the passwords could be 001 all the way through 100, 100 unique passwords. You could get some help, and so you can set them all up. So they can give each one of their users a special password. It could be their phone number, or it could be their employee ID number, or whatever. And then you can go in there and see exactly how many times they've logged in, how long they've stayed in there, where they've gone on the site. And you can offer that to the sales manager. You can give him a username and password and let him have just access to view the stats and everything so he can manage and make sure that his salespeople are going through this content. And if they don't go through it, you know, he can can them if he wants to. Total control, businesscatalyst.com. You know exactly how many times they logged in, everything.
Businesscatalyst.com. That's very valuable. I talked to a guy just the other day, and he's looking at this, and he says, you know, Scott, he says, I like all these audios and everything, but I want to make sure that my people are listening to them. And there are so many little programs that you can use now. I have one of them, I think it's like Wondershare. It's a quiz creator. So for every audio you have, you can create a quiz that might be 10 questions saying, according to the author Tom Freeze, what's the best way to ask this and that? And then the results can be sent to anybody you want. So let's say the guy gets 8 out of 10 correct. As soon as he hits finish, the email is sent to his or her manager or the training guy or whatever, and then they know who's completed it and what kind of results they have.
That's good. Well, this Business Catalyst, it's pretty robust. I would check that out, and then you can find someone to help you get it all set up. That'd be a good investment.
And so how does that work? So when people sign in, it's just automatic.
You're signing in to access the content. So you have a username and a password. It could be your email and a password. And then I can go in as the owner and I can go look your username up. I can see how many times you've logged into the site. I can see where you've gone. I can see what interviews you've listened to. All that. It'll give you all the stats. These are from my HMA marketing consultants. So I can see what they're doing in the back end in the control panel.
I love the fact that you can tell how long they spend.
I'm not 100% sure you can see the duration, but you can see the time they log in and the time they log out. So in essence, yeah, you can see how long they've spent. And you can see what pages they've gone to, too.
Okay. Do you make contact with them?
I can. I don't, but I could. I could go look at all the people who are accessing the free content, and I can see how often they've gone, and I can compare if they've bought my expensive system, and if not, I could approach them, simple email within the control panel there. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity that I'm not taking advantage of for the HMA people, but you could have a full-time person monitoring that, sending out special offer. It's very sophisticated. There's probably so much you can do to it. I'm just barely even scratching the surface.
That's huge when you're having a conversation with somebody, too. I was talking to a guy the other day from a medical device company, and he was sort of skeptical. A couple of his guys really liked a couple of those things. And so I had sent one of his training people a unique link to an MP3. He was the only one that had it. So the point is that I could see how many people he sent it to actually downloaded it. And they had a sales force of like 600, and, you know, like 600 people had downloaded it. Now, one person might have downloaded it twice. It's hard to tell. But the point is that when I told him, hey, listen, I'm looking at the things the guy sent out the other day, and about 600 people or 600 downloads have occurred. There was a pause in the conversation, and you could tell that made an impact, and the conversation began to change at that point, because he's going, whoa, if we got 600 people or 600 downloads of this thing, that's a big deal for somebody, because it's hard for them to get somebody to read an email.
Yeah, well, you can show them how easy it is. All they got to do is go to the link and push a button and listen while they're driving.
Yeah, and that's key, too. I mean, the ease. If people don't have to go through 3 firewalls to get to it and enter 12 passwords, you know, they're not going to listen then. But if you can just push the button, just like you said, with an iPhone, bang, right there.
You can download reports, so you can package that statistics as part of what you're offering. You give them monthly reports on the activity that their sales reps are generating to the site that the company's invested in these audios, or you can give them access.
Yeah, exactly. So that's an upsell for me right there.
In the business catalyst, it's only like $60 a month, $40 a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, $50 a month.
That's not bad.
You just got to get someone to help you set it up. I had someone help me set it up.
Hey, what are you using now to record phone calls? Have you found something that seems to give you a decent quality?
Yeah, I've got a much better quality. You know what I did? I switched over from a regular landline to voice over IP, and I'm still using my Sony digital recorder. And the voice over IP gives me a better quality recording.
What is voice over IP?
It's Vonage. It's internet phone. If you've got a good, strong internet connection at home, for $20 a month, you can have unlimited calls, and you're using your phone through the internet. It's awesome. I should have done it a long time ago.
I mean, I listen to the quality of some of my recordings, and I'm sure you found this, that people, they're more concerned about the content. They're going to forgive a few errors if you have good content. But my audio quality could definitely be better, so I'm going to check that out for sure.
Vonage, they've got specials all the time. Call them. You have an internet connection, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you have for internet?
In Florida, we have Comcast.
Well, just make sure you have their fastest speed. For $10 extra a month, you can buy, you know, a faster download or a faster upload. You need a real good, strong internet connection. So it's a good investment to get the best one they have. Doesn't have to be a T1 line or anything, but good, strong internet connection. Get yourself Vonage for $20 a month. They'll send you out this little modem you plug your phone into. You're going to use your same phone. It's no big deal. It's easy. Then you don't have to pay that monthly phone bill from your landline. The only negative is that I've had some problems with my internet line. If you get a good, strong internet signal, you should have no problem with Vonage. You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Okay. And, I mean, $20 a month, you can't beat that.
That's right. It's a great deal.
One of my buddies has Vonage, and I think it'll even send you an email if somebody leaves a voicemail.
Yes, it will. If someone leaves you a voicemail, it'll email you the transcript of the voicemail. It's incredible.
Gotta love it.
Yep.
Hey, any other tips that you have in terms of audio recordings? You know, it's been several years since I bought your package. I'm just wondering if there's anything I should be doing that I'm not doing.
Nothing really that new. I just say you're doing the right thing. Are you writing descriptions for the beginnings of your recordings, or are you just doing a short ad-lib description?
I'm doing a very short ad-lib description. So it'll be a little teaser like what you have on yours, and then it'll be me saying, hey, if you sell to healthcare providers and you're interested in this, blah, 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 and then boom, right into the interview.
All right. Many times these people you're interviewing, you can ask them to send you a bio, you know, so it's already written for you. You can read that into the phone, kind of like I do. You know, hi, this is Michael Senoff from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Title of this interview is, and then I read that description of what they're going to learn. I kind of give them a little outline of what they're going to hear. But I know on some of yours they're very short, so it may not be necessary. And I pay a writer to write that, and that could be expensive. I think just keep doing what you're doing. Just license. Sell some more packages. I mean, how many of those do you need to sell to be sitting pretty? Sell 20 of those a year. That'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
Why don't you hire a sales rep to sell your interviews as a package, like what you're doing?
One other potential, if you think about your listeners, in terms of business to business, I've got some partnerships now. I just started one with a company called MedReps. And what they are is, if you're looking for a job in pharmaceutical sales, medical device sales, they have like 30,000 people that subscribe, paid subscribers to their service. And so I called them and I said, listen, I said, I've got all these interviews and are you guys interested in offering something else? And lo and behold, they said, you know, we've got all these people. Most of them are already employed. They're just poking around. And we've been thinking about offering training materials. So we formed a partnership, and now what they do is they offer this. It's brand new. They offer my audio interviews, and when somebody buys it, I get 50% of what the take is.
Oh, that's sweet. What are they selling them for? How much?
They're selling for around $100 a package, and I think there's 8-9 interviews in a package, and if it goes well, then we'll go on to other things. This is just the second month into it.
Can they send a direct email out, or do they just have it on their website? How are they going to market it?
What they did was just recently they sent out an email to their entire subscriber list, and they have little 5-minute clips, little samples of the interviews, and they sent out 3 5-minute clips, sample interviews, MP3s, and I had my service that hosts interviews. I just got a thing the other day that said, we want to warn you that you're up to 25 gigabytes of downloads. So, I mean, tons of people are downloading these things and listening to them. Now, are they turning around and buying them? I don't know. Time will tell on that one.
But so only the company knows if there's been sales.
Yes, exactly. It's sort of a trust relationship.
Maybe they got a big fat check for you. You never know.
I hope so.
Can't you call them and say, how'd that first promotion go?
Yeah, actually, that's on the to-do list.
Yeah, I'd want to know because I'm sure the sales are pretty instant. What was at the end of the clip? Was it like go to or was there an order button right there? Did you see how they set it up?
Yeah, exactly. What they did is they had me record, if you're interested in getting the full interviews, go to, you know, www.medreps.com/training. It was something like that. And then if you go there, you'll see where it has, it's a sell page. You know, it has more of the samples, and then you have the option of clicking one of 3 different packages. It'll say, if you're interested in the medical device package, click here. If you're interested in the pharmaceutical sales package, click here.
Good job. Well, you may make some good money off that. I just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, you're doing great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm telling you, everything started with that package I bought from you. So that was definitely a good investment. And I love doing it. You know, I like doing the interviews. I like editing them. It's fun for me.
Absolutely. It's a great business. And you're truly, really able to really leverage yourself through the internet. And once you do that interview, like I said, that is an asset that will keep giving and giving and giving. And before you know it, you'll have this huge collection of interviews like I do, and time goes by fast, and you'll have just an incredible library of stuff. And think of all the people you're helping with these interviews. I mean, you're really changing lives. There's so many stories out there you don't even know about. A lot of these reps are struggling, and they need that support. So when they close a deal because of some of your content, they will not forget you and your stuff. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Well, this has been valuable. This has been a great case study, and it's been good talking to you, and I'm sure my subscribers would love to hear this recording. I'll write an intro for it, and I've got another interview to add to the collection, especially for my audio marketing students.
Well, there you go. I hope it's helpful.
Oh, it is. It is. That's great. I went to your website and filled out your form. I'm glad you called me, and this has been great. And if there's anything else I can help you with, let me know.
Okay, Michael. Thanks much, and have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Bye-bye, Scott.
That's the end of our interview with Scott. I hope it's been helpful. If you'd like to learn the secrets Scott has learned on how to package your own audio information products, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Or you can go to Google and just type in audio marketing secrets. Thanks for listening.